Blog Talk Radio. I'm Cynthia Johnson, and I'm here with
Dr. Reggie Johnson.
Oh, yes, Dr. Reggie. And we're your hosts this morning as we continue our book study of Soul Psychology by Joshua David Stone. We've been talking about reprogramming the subconscious mind and dealing with different tools that we can use to spiritualize our negative emotions. And today I thought, oh, I'm going to just veer off a little bit and talk about something a little different. And so that's what we're going to do. I always follow the spirit. Dr. Reggie, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great. I'm alive and I'm happy to be alive.
Me too. I'm so grateful. I am so grateful.
I am too.
Oh, wow. Well, we're getting a slow start this morning, but let's go ahead and do our opening prayer.
Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, birther of all things, creator of this beautiful, vast, and wonderful universe, we are so grateful to be a part of all nature and all life, and that you've given us the opportunity to enjoy this planet and enjoy everything about living in this reality and atmosphere, not to judge, not to label, but to walk in truth, to walk in honesty and integrity, and to walk in the light of righteousness and right thinking and right doing and right speech. Let us always guard our life judiciously and treat it like liquid gold, because it's a precious moment, every moment that we are alive. And we thank you that blood is running in our veins, that we breathe, that we move and have life itself, and that we can give life to others through birthing, through our women on the planet Earth. We thank you so much for love and for life itself. Father, bless everyone listening to this station, and bless those who are called to listen to this station, and give them a unique blessing of prosperity and health. We believe it is so, and so it is.
Wow, and so it is. So it is. So today I am taking our lesson from Michael Beckwith's book, Life Visioning. And this chapter jumped out at me. It's called The Dark Night of the Soul.
Mm.
You know, sometimes we get in these little places where, you know, we're not all happy and we're not all joyous, but we need to understand that it is an integral part of our spiritual development. So I wanted to share this lesson with you today. It just kind of spoke to me. And we'll return to Joshua Stone tomorrow and the rest of this week. So I love this quote. Listen to this. The world around me was falling down. And when it crumbled, I saw higher ground. Something happened inside of me. I stepped into my true identity.
Mm.
Wow. Whoa.
When it falls apart.
When it all falls apart and we think that we are failures, we really begin to see life differently and we step into our true identity.
Mm.
He starts the chapter out by saying when he's been teaching some 30-something years, and it's been his experience that occasionally individuals become disenchanted when I bring up the dark night of the soul. And sometimes this happens because they have a preconceived notion that doing the spiritual path in the right way is all about perpetual glee, which is a symptom of spiritual immaturity, okay? But there are many times in any stage of consciousness when the dark night overshadows our desire to practice and to grow and to transform. But the mystics and spiritual practitioners of any path will describe those moments and those days, sometimes months and even years, when divine succor is nowhere to be found. So, having experienced the dark night, what I realized is that it has a transformative impact, and it should not be overlooked or underestimated or resisted. Its relationship to life visioning is so relevant. There are times, no matter how devoted and precise that we are in our practice, when we cannot access our intuitive faculty because we are in the midst of an evolutionary shift in consciousness. Deep soul work is occurring at a level we are unable to discern with the conscious mind, which can cause us confusion and frustration. Therefore, it supports our overall practice to understand that we are operating on many levels and many stages of growth simultaneously, which is something the human mind can't easily wrap itself around. So, here it is. You're miserable consciously. You're uncomfortable. You may be trying to make a change in your life. You've decided, I want to pursue this. And you've got a lot of challenges in front of you. And you think that none of the principles that we've been teaching are working for you. But guess what? Ooh, there's a lot of growth going on underneath all of that confusion.
Amen.
A lot of growth. And now I see why I was being led to share this with you. Because at that point, you are at a critical point when that confusion is around you on your spiritual path. Because either you're going to forge forward and move through it, knowing that there's something wonderful on the other side, or you give up. Isn't that something? As much as the divine energy in us wants us to have all joy, we have to prove, I won't say prove ourselves worthy, because we're always worthy, but we have to stand firm in our belief and hold on to it to move through the circumstances.
It's amazing you say that, Cynthia. It is amazing because in my studies in the mystery school and in my teaching, we go through different pantheons or different aspects of God and Goddess, the feminine reality of God. And there's one goddess in particular who's called the Triple Crown Goddess, who teaches you the dark night of the soul, the aspect of yourself. You go through the underworld that the Christed part of you goes through in order to understand a higher elevation. That's Hecate. And people say, why are we stuck on that? Because you have to learn about your transformative state. You have to go through this to understand who you are and to appreciate the light. When you go through the darkness, there's always light at the end of the tunnel, at the end of the crossroads. She's called the goddess of the crossroads. Because you're making up your mind. Which way do I go? What do I do? How do I get out of this? This is to help you as an archetypal real reality to help you get through this process. Mm-hmm. And that's what she represents. And I love that Christmas you go through in order to evolve and emerge as a beautiful butterfly from the cocoon.
I know. You know what I realize? And the reason I think this lesson is so powerful is because when we are, my screen just went blank, so my mind did too.
Oh my goodness, it went to a dark night.
But the reason I think this is such an important thing, and you know, I'm always going back to my personal experiences on my spiritual path.
That's what you relate to.
Right. But I recognize now when I was, didn't have a job, a lot of negative thoughts about me came into my mind. And I would, I can definitely tell you that there were a lot of fearful thoughts, and I questioned myself quite a bit. And that was the dark night of my soul. But in the midst of all of that, I mean, and it was, you know, it, when you look at my state of consciousness, I was really in a swamp and walking around. And it's funny because in the midst of all that, I'm doing circles of prosperity on top of it and having all of these, you know, I'm walking around in this swamp of negative thought. And but I was growing. I can recognize that I was growing. It brings to mind, I share with you guys, I listened to an interview with Eckhart Tolle, and he was saying he wasn't a success. His mother said, look, you're 45 years old. It's about time that, you know, you start thinking about what you're going to do with your life. He'd been in school, got his PhD, but he said there was nothing, you know, significant going on in my life. As a matter of fact, you would look at me and say that I was a failure. But look at the growth he was going through to come out with a book like The Power of Now. And then people began acknowledging who he was and how powerful he was. So there is tremendous growth in what we would call the dark night of the soul. And it's really like the lotus flower that grows in the mud. And, you know, you're all in the mud, walking and treading all in the mud. And here that beautiful flower that grows from the mud, its deep roots in mud, and it unfolds the beauty of the lotus opening up. And so you definitely will open up from those moments. So let's move on and see what he says. It's important to clarify that a dark night of the soul has nothing to do with the common definitions of psychological depression or melancholy or despair or even sadness about life's challenging external circumstances, including tragedy or loss. And certainly these events deserve self-compassion and have their life-changing value. But the significant difference between the experience and the dark night of the soul is that such events affect our various life structures, whereas the dark night of the soul is a mystical process involving only the soul and the source.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I would say, from my personal experience, that even though it was a life challenge that made me stop, the lessons that I was learning were about who I truly am came from that life experience. Mm-hmm. And so I don't disagree with him, but it caused me to think about everything and to challenge everything and to completely redefine myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I chose at that point to walk in faith and not in fear.
That's right.
Completely.
Amen.
I surrendered completely. Okay. So a big part of misinterpreting the dark night arises from over-romanticizing the spiritual path, which occurs primarily in three ways. First, you know, first, we believe only what we want to, for example, that it is not our fate to feel soul pain. And we can avoid doing so if we pray, affirm, and think only in positive ways. And secondly, if we meditate and perform enough good works as our teacher and his or her teachings instruct, well, we'll know bliss and be liberated in this lifetime. Or here's another one. Getting caught up in the religious emotionalism, which is temporary at best, say from an inspiring talk or music, yet we don't have an interior spiritual practice to anchor and expand that inspiration. So we have to return again and again to get another inoculation from the external source of our high.
Wow, that's amazing. That's true.
So, you know, there's such benefit in going to church. But my question is, how much are you growing spiritually by going to church? You should be in a growth mode. Are you going because it makes you feel good? And this is what he's saying. You don't have enough spiritual development on the inside of you, so you're seeking outside for that high. I thought that was kind of interesting. So in the ebb and flow of practice, there naturally are those times when our prayers feel very dry, soulless, and our 20-minute meditation seems like an eternity, filled with a litany of complaints and accusations and criticisms. And all of this is causing us to become confused and bereft of comfort. Suddenly, reading the headlines of a supermarket tabloid is far more alluring than the book we just brought on how to accelerate our evolutionary progress. A spiritual drought has set in. For how long, we don't know, and it gives us grief. We may regress to old religious thought forms and wonder if God or the devil is testing our spiritual mettle. But everything once considered real is now felt to be unreal and causing us to ask if the path we're on no longer serves us, and it's time to once again explore the aisles of the spiritual supermarket. So whether we experience one or many of these symptoms, any one of them dramatically shifts our spiritual center of gravity. Ego can win these rounds, beating us down with self-loathing.
Oh my God.
And nevertheless, such setbacks in our spiritual practice still do not constitute a dark night of a soul. So let's define the dark night. This is his definition. I define the dark night this way. The dark night of the soul is a profound movement in consciousness that unravels the entanglements of ego, metaphorically bringing us to our knees by taking us through a seeming disintegration so that we may reintegrate at a higher level of consciousness.
Amen.
And if we surrender and give our consent to it, we receive the dark night's gracious gifts. But if we reject it, we miss its contribution to our evolutionary progress.
Amen.
For as Jung points out, the birth of the self is always to defeat. It's a defeat for the ego. Moving into the realization that the divine energy is within you begins to defeat the ego, and you are birthing your true identity.
Amen.
So many mystics, this is getting hot. I'm getting hot in here.
Yeah, it's true. It's very amazing.
I know. Many mystics in the world, spiritual traditions, have written about their experience of the dark night of the soul, including St. John of the Cross and St. Teresa of Avila and Kabir and Rumi, all of these. And if you read their life stories or even their poetry, you will note that their respective dark nights of the soul occurred in stage 3 awareness with an overlap in stage 4 and had nothing to do with external circumstances. Their intense agony was caused by the inability to access the presence as they had become accustomed to do. Echoing David's anguish in Psalm 51, when he cried out, "Do not take your Holy Spirit from me." You know, as I'm there's a story.
And even Jesus said, "Why hast thou forsaken me?"
Yes.
Father has forsaken me. Mother Teresa, at the end of her life, said, "I don't know if I really believe or not." The anguish and all the good stuff she did had nothing to do with that power at all. It's about her own growth.
Yeah.
And everybody's own growth.
Yeah.
And Jesus did it at the resurrection. So everybody goes through something in the soul to get to a higher elevation of the soul. It's amazing.
So
amazing.
It is absolutely amazing. So to the degree that one has an unbroken, intimate connection with source, the more intense is the torment when the practitioner must continue the journey for an unknown length of time without the accompaniment of that blissful communion.
Oh, my God.
Woo!
Oh, my God.
And upon emerging from the dark night, they realize that they have been transformed.
Yes.
That it was they were incubating. Oh, I love that word.
That's true.
They were incubating in seeming darkness and isolation, but transported into a cleansing of consciousness, a greater dissolution of ego, and preparing them for a more absolute awareness of oneness.
Wow.
So, in the words of St. John, the divine touches the soul to renew it and to ripen it.
Ooh, oh, that's so cool.
That isn't that beautiful?
It is beautiful.
Oh, see, if you could just...
That's amazing.
Just hang on.
Mm-hmm.
Just hang on. I love it. Joy will cometh in the morning. Oh, weeping may endure for a night.
But joy cometh in the morning.
But joy cometh in the morning. Mm-hmm. Those scriptures just sing to my soul so much.
Oh, yeah.
So he's going to give a personal encounter here. So let's see what he went through. He says that a number of years ago, I found myself in the clutches of an existential. Dread that's so morbid. I felt as though I wanted to die.
Oh, no.
I literally crawled to my meditation cushion, feeling utterly disconnected from myself, from God, and any sense of joy or happiness. And once I managed to sit in meditation, what kept passing through my mind was every single mistake I've made and the subsequent judgment I had placed on myself. Even something as small as inadvertently taking a pen from a hotel room escalated into a felony.
Oh, my God.
And out of nowhere, the ego's voice announced, I don't want to be this spiritual. And this went on for most of the night. It felt like an eternity. So can you imagine my relief when all at once there was a radiant light that dispelled the darkness and I perceived myself in the way God sees me. Whole. Luminous. As pristine as the moment, and I came into existence.
Amen. Whoa.
Isn't that beautiful?
That's awesome.
And so although this experience involved a profound sense of separation, the reality is that there was not a moment when I was not embraced by the presence. This taught me that by not resisting the dark night, it became a sacred doorway into a deeper confidence that we are all along the way escorted through our life by unconditional love.
Ooh-wee.
And that light and shadow are not a duality, but rather a disillusion of a limited perception of having a human incarnation.
Whoa. Whoa.
Do you see that?
Yes, I see this hallelujah moment.
It dissolves this limited perception of having a human incarnation. In other words, you realize that you are eternal, that you are divine, that there is no beginning or end. You are separating yourself from physical form and moving to a higher level of your spiritual divinity.
Amen.
Your awareness of who you truly are.
Got it.
Oh, so it also brought a healing understanding mm-hmm. to a time mm-hmm. when I had the constant companionship of the dark night for over 2 years. And even though I remained fully functional, an undercurrent of hollowness hounded my days. And by the time I made peace with this and determined it would not sidetrack me from my spiritual practices, and most unexpectedly, I was filled with a profound sense of radiance and spaciousness. All of this made it clear to me why many of the mystics actually pray for a dark night of the soul experience.
Wow.
Because the transformation
is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, some days I wake up in the morning.
I'm laughing because I think I know where you're going.
Yeah, because I think, oh, I just don't have the energy to do circles of prosperity this morning. But I will drag myself to the computer and turn it on and get going. And then I find a magic.
Yes.
And I get energized
yes.
by the truth.
And by the Holy Spirit. It's true.
Which is truth. Holy Spirit
yes,
is truth.
Yes, it is. It's true.
I get energized by it. In the midst of my fatigue, the vibration and the frequency of divinity.
Like a second wind, isn't it?
Yes, it is. So he goes on to say, there's a tremendous difference between ordinary sadness and the dark night. And I think that's what he's trying to say. But, you know, and I don't disagree with him, but it's the approach that you take in between sadness.
Yes.
Because the sadness could be your dark night. I think he's trying to separate it. He says the vibration is entirely different. And I think the reason he's saying that is because when you are on your spiritual path, you're beginning to question whether or not this path really is the answer. It's not just that your life is miserable. It's that, is this really the answer? I mean, I remember sitting at my desk. I can visually see the room in my sunroom.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at all these books that I studied for all these years. And I was really, and I was at such a low point. And I said, I've been so foolish. This is what I said. I've been so foolish with my life.
Oh, no.
That I had invested all of my energy in my spiritual development. And so things like my professional development, I had made missteps. I began judging the decisions that I had made. And so I questioned, I just thought, I've just given my life over to this foolishness. I call it foolishness. And then I was stupid and silly that I should have invested more on the other side. And you told me it's okay. Because you shared with me at that moment how Mother Teresa questioned.
Yeah.
You went back to find mm-hmm. other saints who questioned it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think what he's saying here is that dark night is when you begin to question your spiritual path and how it works
and the
development. So he says St. John of the Cross, he was a monk from the 16th century. He's the most sublime of all Spanish mystics. He has a book called Dark Night of the Soul. And it is a valuable guide for navigating the dark night. And in one stanza, he writes, "Oh, dark night, kindled in love with yearnings. Oh, happy chance. The endurance of this darkness is preparation for a great light.
Whoa.
And his words reveal the dark and light aspects of incubating in the emptiness of fullness of it all. So when you're experiencing a dark night, I encourage you to read about the life of an awakened being, and you will realize that you're in good company. You're in good company. For none have reached the shores of wakefulness without all the ego's notions of what it means to be, quote, spiritual, and getting stripped away. Those who surrender, who don't resist the dark night, and drop the remnants of ego and become a living fire of soul luminosity. You know, as I continue to go through this chapter, this is this image of Jesus in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights,
mm-hmm.
and how he was challenged by Satan,
yes.
and enticed by Satan. I believe that was his dark night. Oh, you think you're the Son of God, and oh, you know, I'll give you all of this. And you think you're so powerful, turn this stone into bread and feed yourself. All of this stuff, it was the battle of the soul, of consciousness. Don't you think, Dr. Reggie?
I do. And also when he had to go to the Garden of Gethsemane, that special prayer he did in that garden, in that dark night, when all of his disciples fell asleep and left him praying alone. They were snoring it off somewhere else in dreamland. And he's giving up his petition to God about take this cup away from me, that I have to die to prove who I am in that garden. And it's amazing to me. Can you imagine that cool night in the desert with the full moon showing like they always do in the painting? And he's praying to God and making his petition that why do I have to go through this? Why am I the one to go through this? You're chosen for a reason, everybody is. And if that's your dark night, when you come through, it's going to be glorious and very powerful. So it's something going through it. It's very powerful to go through the process.
Mm. He says that it seems more natural that we should reject the dark night experience. But you do so at the expense of profound purification and of consciousness. So let's say that you are caught between two of the stages, your current state of consciousness and the birthing into the next stage of your evolutionary progress. And you wonder if the benefits will outweigh the pain that you are experiencing. And a gauntlet is thrown down in the face of your ego, and how you respond is very revealing. Will you face it full on, as did Jesus and the Buddha,
mm-hmm.
during their respective dark night experiences? Everyone that is on this path has this experience.
Yes, I tell you.
So many individuals question why, when they're striving so diligently and everything has been going so well, there's suddenly this dark night that they have to contend with. And after all, they've read all the right books, they can talk the lingo, they can sit regularly on their meditation cushion and serve at their spiritual center, and it's confounding, especially the first time it happens. Spiritual arrogance can be so subtle.
Yes. Oh, yes, indeed.
But when we're sincere in our spiritual walk, we remain humble enough to admit that no matter how long or how deeply we've traveled the path, we still know very little. This is what I call positive ignorance, because it demonstrates an open and teachable attitude,
yes.
which acknowledges that there remains a distance to go on the journey to enlightenment.
Mm.
So, you know, Dr. Reggie, a lot of times when I'm teaching or sharing with people, and and they have this wonderful energy around them. I mean, because they're discovering new things and they're just, oh. And I remember as I was unfolding, you know, and I'm still unfolding,
mm-hmm.
but I would have those moments when the awareness was just so beautiful and so blissful, and it was like, oh. And I sit back and I watch it sometimes, and I'm so envious that I'm not having that experience when I'm in those drought periods, because you have to kind of marinate in every level of your awareness for a time. And I was like, I want that. I want to feel that glee and that joyfulness. But you know, that's what happens when you're in kindergarten. You know, it's all new and it's all exciting to you. But there is a deeper level as time goes on in your understanding.
Believe me, I know. And I've gone to you when I had my dark night. So I said, Cynthia, I do all this work for all these people.
Yeah.
And I have no one to go to. You said, honey, you have God to go to. I said, no, come on. That's correct. But you realize, it's like in The Wizard of Oz. You always had the power to pick the heels 3 times and go home. It was right there with you all the time. And it is inside of us. And it's a lesson for you to learn. You can't have that sparkle and that love until you learn that lesson. So that's very true.
I know. Wow. Don't avoid the void. I like to say and often remind myself, sit with it. Don't try to affirm it away. Welcome it. Without morbidity or a sense of victimhood. What is that saying? Don't judge it.
Right.
Just experience it. Don't place a label on it. Just experience it. And remind yourself of this good news, because often right before you, you have a breakthrough. You have a breakdown, a releasing, a chemicalization that becomes so alchemical, you know, which is, he's talking about a form of alchemy, so transformative that when you come through it, transformation has happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so as you spiritually mature, you will recognize that there are different levels of the dark night. They will become easier to surrender to because you will learn to recognize and appreciate their cleansing efforts. Or their cleansing effect.
Mm.
So when you're experiencing a dark night of the soul, I want you to take this advice and to walk in remembered radiance. So when we recall the communion that we realized in deep interior prayer, or a precious meditative oneness with the whole, we gather the courage and surrender to keep on keeping on. It is a way to metaphorically hold our hand in loving kindness and remembrance that moments of darkness always, always lead to the light. And when we are mature in our understanding of the valuable play of light and shadow in our life, we know that we are on a grand journey of the heart, and we give thanks. We give thanks to the dark night for evolving us into spiritual warriors and illuminating our path. You may welcome the dark night with full confidence and trust. Dr. Reggie, take us into our closing prayer.
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this beautiful and profound lesson about going through the valley of the shadow of death, where we fear no evil because thou art with us. We all go through something to get to the light. No matter what we're going through, it's about our feelings and emotions, and that we're using them for the right reasons. Let us go through this knowing that when we go through the hurricane, we're also in the eye of it where there's peace. The angels are doing all the work, moving all the madness out of the way to help us go through the storm. And sometimes we get caught up in it and get lost and feel bewildered and lost in that desert, isolated place. But you are always with us and in us and acting as us through our personal chrysalis that we go through to come out as beautiful, radiant, glorious, life-affirming butterflies, expressing our own freedom and our love on the planet. We thank you for this lesson today, and hopefully we take it to heart and in our soul. We believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is.